Asia Expansion Explained. Der Podcast für innovative Unternehmen, die in Asiens Märkte expandieren möchten. Country Insights, Expertinnen-Know-how, Best Practice Cases und spannende Karriere-Talks für einen erfolgreichen Markteintritt.
Willkommen zu unserer 51. Podcast-Folge. Wir haben gerade mit der Israel-Serie gestartet und reisen heute virtuell nach Tel Aviv. Denn unser heutiger Gast, Shai Yusfan, teilt mit uns seine Erfahrungen direkt vor Ort.
Genau, Lisa. Und deswegen werden wir die heutige Folge zur Abwechslung mal wieder auf Englisch aufnehmen. Shai ist seit über 18 Jahren als International Business Development Expert beim Außenwirtschaftscenter Tel Aviv tätig. Dort hat er sich auf Technologie und Innovation spezialisiert, seine wahre Leidenschaft. Seine vorherigen Erfahrungen umfassen sowohl die internationale Geschäftsentwicklung für Softwareunternehmen beim Israel Export Institute als auch die unternehmerische Seite als Founder von Highway.
Und heute taucht er mit uns noch tiefer in das israelische Startup-Ökosystem ein. Dabei verrät er uns die wichtigsten Keyplayer und erklärt uns, wie sich das österreichische System von dem israelischen unterscheidet. So, let's switch to English and welcome to our podcast, Shai. Hello, Shai. Welcome to our podcast. We are very glad to have you here today.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Today, we talk with you about the Israeli startup ecosystem. And since you've been working in the ecosystem for quite a long time now, you are basically the perfect person to speak to if you are an international startup and you need to know who are actually the big players you need to know in Israel. But first, would you please explain what you're actually doing and introduce yourself to our audience?
Yes, I work at Advantage Austria Israel, and our aim is to help Austrian companies do business in Israel. We are also focusing on innovation, and we are also helping large Austrian corporates to find technologies here in Israel. We are working closely with around 20 large Austrian corporates. In my previous job, I was at the Israel Export Institute, and I helped Israeli software companies find partners around the world. So I know the system from the Israeli side, and I know the system from the Austrian side. And I have to say it's more or less the same.
Well, I think even though it's basically the same, there is always something to learn.
No, of course. I still think that there is a big difference between the Austrian market and the Israeli market, especially regarding innovation. I mean, the Israeli market is quite well known. There are a few facts that everybody knows, and this is that we have more startups per capita than anywhere else. And now also, I think Israel excel with the number of unicorns, because we have like around 10% of the world unicorns. There are around 800 unicorns worldwide, and in Israel, we already have more than 70. Yeah, and Israel is the same size as Austria, so we have to remember this.
That's true. So I think we are ready to start. So this is already the first kind of like chapter we want to discuss with you. Some facts and figures about the Israeli startup ecosystem. So as you said that you have worked or you do work with Austrian companies and also Israeli companies. So as an observer of the ecosystem, what are the main differences between the Austrian startup ecosystem or the Israeli startup ecosystem in comparison to other international startup hubs?
Well, first of all, the Israeli startup ecosystem started much earlier. We started in the 90s. So we have much more experience. The VC market is much more sophisticated. because of the time, you know, because of the experience. And I think this also goes with the numbers. I mean, if you talk about the numbers of startups and the number of VCs, they are much higher in Israel. In Israel, we are talking about, I think it depends who you ask and how you measure it, but it's between 5,000 to 10,000 startups. I think 2,000, 3,000 startups that already got VC money. This is the main difference, I think, between the Austrian markets and the Israeli markets. And if I look at the Austrian markets in terms of the technology, new startups and the new VCs, I see Israel like 10, 15 years ago, something like this. It's starting to happen, but for every ecosystem to become mature, it takes time. And there's no way around it.
Yeah, so this is definitely something you probably write about, especially if you count the numbers of startups and numbers of VCs and also unicorns. So 70 unicorns in Israel, that's quite an impressive number. What are the hotspots you need to know as a startup? So who are the people you need to know?
Yeah, where do I need to go to become a unicorn?
I mean, becoming a unicorn, now it's crazy in Israel. It's like an inflation of unicorns. It's an inflation of IPOs and SPAC. They are crazy valuation all the time. I think the numbers are that there were like 48 IPOs in the first quarter of 2021 in Israel. And this is a crazy number if you think about it. Think how many IPOs each week. So each week there is a new Israeli going and raising money, and the valuation here are crazy. I think maybe the question is, how does Israel manage to produce so many unicorns?
Mm.
And this is a question that many are trying to answer. I mean, we have on a regular basis between the COVID, we are having many delegations from all over the world coming to Israel and trying to see how they can, in a way, duplicate the Israeli ecosystem and create this kind of success in terms of startups and unicorns. There is no easy answer for this. The usual answers, it goes that there is, of course, the Israeli army that is producing many young people that have experience with cutting-edge technologies, with IT security mainly. And then they are coming out of the army at the age of 25 or something like this, after they managed very complex systems. And then they go and they create the startups when they are very experienced. They know how to manage people. They are very mature in this regard. There is also the government help. In Israel, everything with the VC market started at the 90s. And at the 90s, the Israeli government established a fund called the Yuzma. This was a government fund that promised to invest together with the VCs. And this came also at the time, in the 90s, there were like 1 million immigrants coming from Russia to Israel. Many of them are very well educated with PhD in science and computers and everything. So everything came together at the right time. The government planned the new immigrants. And this was the starting of the VC. So you have the army, you have the government who gave the money at the right time. And of course, you have the mentality, the Israeli mentality. I don't know if you know the Hebrew name chutzpah.
Chutzpah, yeah.
So chutzpah basically means nerve. It's an attitude. It's an attitude that we can do better. And you need this attitude because you are sitting, you know, a few young people in a room and you're saying, look, I can compete with the world giant and I can do things better. It's a bit crazy and you have to be a bit crazy in order to do it. It's not something rational. Usually when entrepreneurs goes to a VC, then the VC tells, what if Google will do this? What if Amazon will do this? And this is always a question that they need to tackle. But lately I heard a podcast with a great answer for this. An entrepreneur said to the VC that interviewed him, and they said the same thing. They said, what if Google will do this? So he told the VC, and what if Google will establish a new VC? So I think this is quite a good answer.
I mean, yeah, this attitude, I mean, certainly attributes to entrepreneurial spirit is something that is not, you don't wake up and you have it, right? So it's something that is indoctrinated into you, and also this combination of opportunities, high tech, what you spoke about with the military backgrounds of the young people, with the mandatory military service, as well as having to look beyond borders, I think, is also another thing, right? So you always have to think a little bit big in Israel as well.
Always.
In Austria, we can be a little bit complacent in that sense. We said, we have Germany, we have Switzerland. We actually have a nice market, right? But for Israel, that's not the case, especially in this delicate situation that geographically, geopolitically, Israel is in that sense, right?
Exactly. Israel, in a way, it's like an island because the countries around us are not very friendly to us. So we cannot even go get into a car and drive to Europe. We always have to take a plane out. And this is also part of the attitude. It's first it's Israel, and then we are going straight to the world in a way the startups are born global. From day one, they think about the global market and mainly the US market. This is also a very known fact. With the number of companies traded in Nasdaq, it's number 3 after the US and China. And this is because the main market for the Israeli startups is the US, and they are growing in the US because it's an easier market for them. It's one language. Why, for example, the European market, it's more segmented, so it's harder to penetrate.
Right.
If you go to, as an Israeli startup, to international markets, because you said basically all Israel startups are immediately thinking globally, is there any support for the startups to achieve global success? So especially, does the government play any role? Are there any funding opportunities? How do Israel startups do that, to think globally, to internationalize immediately? Why do you think is that?
It's not because of government support. I mean, the government support is very important. It's still important. But, you know, among entrepreneurs, if you took government money, probably, you know, you are not that good in a way. Although I can tell you about great companies, amazing companies like Mobileye that you probably heard about, that I think they started with a chief scientist, they got the money from the government. The role of the government in Israel is mainly to support market failure. Like those startups, for example, in the life science industry, where it takes them a very long time, it takes them a few years in order to reach profitability. And the government is there. The government is there to take the bigger risk that the private market is not willing to take. But if you ask about how do Israeli companies go global, very fast, once they got the money, they opened offices also in the US. And many Israeli startups have their development center here in Israel, and the marketing goes to the US. And this is also because of the level of engineers here in Israel. Although we are trying to see problems here because there is a big shortage of engineers in the high tech. There is much more demand. It's everywhere. But Austrians are welcome here if they want to come and work with a startup.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Austrian startups would like to come to Israel, are there many opportunities for international startups that look into the Israeli market?
In terms of the market, of course not, because it's a very small market and there is no reason for an Austrian startup, I think, to start here in Israel. I think, I mean, we did 2 accelerators where we brought Austrian startups for 1 month to Israel. And then we enabled them to meet with leading entrepreneurs and leading figures in the Israeli ecosystem in order to gain more experience from this market and understand how things go, how to recruit money from VCs, how to establish your company. Yeah, I mean, I think it's mainly to cooperate maybe with Israeli startups and technology cooperation, but not as a market in order to sell.
As many of our listeners are German-speaking startups, would you just name a few of the big accelerators or the VC accelerators international startups can look into? So who are the main players?
VC and accelerators are two different things, of course. Accelerators, you have here a mass challenge in terms of international accelerators. And there are many other accelerators that some of them are supporting the food tech industry, some are supporting the retail. There are really accelerators and incubators for every niche here. By the way, in Israel, it's different, the accelerators and the incubators terms. Incubators are government incubators, and the accelerators are usually private endeavors. And also they supply different things. Accelerators, like always, you know, it's a 3 months, the startups come, they sit over there. Now there is an argument also in Israel if those accelerators really help the entrepreneurs, you know, if they really need them. Incubators are with government funding. They get around, I think, $2 million or something like this. And then they get a place and they sit there for 2 years and they are helping them with all the administration and with the business development and everything. So it's really like an incubator with professional people and money helping the Israeli startup to succeed. Usually, there are not that much. There is a hard competition, harsh competition over the good startups. The really great startup, they get money from the VCs very fast. And the startups that struggle more, they need to go usually to the accelerators, to the incubators, in order to start and build something and show something. Because today you cannot recruit money before you have something to show. You need to show some traction. You need to show that your product is working. You need to show something.
Okay, so also quite demanding in this sense.
Yes, I mean, it's demanding because it's also became much easier to build a startup.
Mm-hmm.
Today, and this is the reason also why Israel is good at it, because it requires things that everybody can get. It's you need a laptop and you need to know how to program and you can build a startup. And you can also see that the startups are growing very, very fast. I mean, startups that were established only a few years ago are now unicorns. And they're worth much more than traditional companies like you have in Austria that have been around for ages.
Because you mentioned that the accelerators and incubators are built in terms of that there's for every niche, for every vertical, there is a different incubator, acceleration program, etc. What trends can you actually see at the moment in Israel in terms of innovations and which industries are booming?
I mean, Israel is well known and started with IT security. And now I think at the first half of 2021, there were more investment in fintech. Fintech, I think, worldwide and also in Israel, there are many new startups coming in this field. And maybe you know some of the companies. Do you know eToro? Have you heard about it?
eToro?
It's a new unicorn. I think it was already like around $10 billion or something like this.
Yeah,
it enabled everyone to invest
in the stock market, huh?
Yeah, in the stock market, in crypto, in I think also foreign exchange. The interesting thing about them is that they enable you to follow experienced investors, so you can copy their portfolio. So I think they were established 2007, something like this, and now they're worth $10 billion. There are also in the fintech other unicorns already, like Pagaya, and there is the Pioneer, who enable the transaction of money. And there is Meteo. I mean, there are quite a few unicorns in the fintech already. The other sectors that are becoming trendy is the food tech, where you have a few Israeli startups that are trying to replace meat, for example. I just heard about a startup that is trying to save the bees because there is a world crisis and you need to manage the bees better in order for them to produce more honey.
So you want to make the bees work more?
Maybe more efficient. I don't know exactly what they are doing. Yeah.
It's already called busy as a bee. So
they need to be busier. It's not enough for the Israeli culture. They need to do more.
Very straightforward.
Yeah. And also, of course, the Internet of Things is another sector that is coming up.
This brings me to the next question, the interlinkage between what the government is looking for and what the businesses are doing. As we've heard before from your side and also in the previous podcast, there's quite a strong connection between military and business and all that involvement. So could you explain a little bit what directions the Israeli government is looking at the moment? Because I think that's also very interesting for our listeners to the podcast.
Yes, the Israeli government and the chief scientist's office are now very worried about two main issues. One of them is the integration of the whole population in the high-tech sector, because the high-tech sector today is around 10% of the population. They are in charge of half of the Israeli export. But the problem is that there is 90% of the population that is not enjoying not the salaries and not the fruits of the high tech. This is mainly the Orthodox. There is even an accelerator for the Orthodox in Jerusalem. There are efforts to help them become part of the high tech. And there is also the Arab population. There aren't too many Arabs that manage to become part of the high-tech sector. This is one purpose of the government, the integration. The other is, we talked about it already, is the shortage of engineers. And the government is very worried. They are thinking about different solutions, maybe import engineers, maybe training courses, maybe all of them. But this is the second issue. And of course, supporting the startups, supporting those startups that VCs are not willing to invest in because it's too risky, it takes too many years, and here the governments need to step in. So yes, this is the role of the government here.
So this is basically a shout out to all the engineers to come to...
to come to Israel, yeah. Yes, it's a big problem. It's a problem that does not enable the startup ecosystem to grow as much as it can. And since many of the development centers are here in Israel, the problem became more and more crucial. Many of the development centers in Israel, they are being bought by the large multinationals. There is a competition today between the multinationals and the startups. They are competing on the same manpower. This is another fact that is very impressive. There are more than 400 multinationals R&D centers here in Israel. And those centers, quite a few of them, were established after the multinational bought a startup. They are buying the startups with the manpower, with the engineers, with everyone, and they assimilate it into their own company. And this is another way to recruit people. It's just to buy the startup and then you buy the brain in a way.
Very interesting. What do you think does it need for the Israeli startup ecosystem to basically change that and so that it can grow as fast as it want?
It's a tough question because we are a small market. It's not like China, where you have the population is so big that you have an abundance of people all the time. In Israel, it's quite limited and you have to find different solutions. And they have to be quality solutions. You cannot just import engineers. I don't want to insult anybody, but import them from India or from even from China. You need them to be very high level in order to work in a startup that has a really cutting-edge technology. So it really have to be very qualified engineers in this regard, maybe Austrian engineers.
So, Fabian, I already come to our last chapter. We always wanted to know from our guests also some storytelling, so what their personal experiences. So, Shai, what were your most exciting experiences working in Tel Aviv so far?
At the time before COVID, when we had delegations coming from Austria, I took three delegations to meet Monday. if you know Monday.com.
Yeah, they're like helping teams to work better efficiently together, right?
They call themselves the operating team of the internet. And yeah, basically, they help companies manage tasks better. So the first delegation I brought to them, they were around 10 people. 10 very exciting people. It was at 2012. So it's only about 9 years ago. And they had like a big screen in the middle of the meeting room in the company. And they were counting how many clients are joining every minute. And it was like a cool thing. You know, I even brought the delegations from Austria that I thought, you know, those delegations are coming from different business sectors. So I wanted to bring them to a company that everybody can understand. And this was something that everybody can understand, how to perform your task better. And this company grew amazingly. I mean, in a few years, there are now 900 people. They worth $7 billion. And it's happening right before my eyes. I can only regret, you know, that I didn't join them for free or something. It's amazing. It's amazing because it's only a few years. And the companies, the unicorns are growing so fast that it's not parallel. I don't think that never in history you had this period where companies are growing so fast. I think that part of it is the valuation, and there is a lot of money that is seeking investment because the interest rates are so low. Some of the valuation of the startups and even the unicorns might be exaggerated. It doesn't mean that they are not good companies. It might be, you know, that too much money went to those companies. But still, it's an amazing period to see how companies, how startups are growing and becoming giant, you know, out of nowhere.
Yeah, the growth is definitely very impressive that Israel counts so many unicorns. Fabian, do you think we are ready for the last question? Although I would love to hear more fast-growing stories from you, Shai.
Absolutely. No, I think we would all love to hear more. Anybody can also call Advantage Austria office and ask for Shai for some more insights.
Gladly.
But maybe we come to the notorious, I wouldn't say, but our listeners will know that's the bottom line of where we go with a podcast usually. So Shai, what is your personal insider or success tip for Austrian or European startups looking to expand to Israel? In your belief, like if it's just one thing, if it's one single thing that you would have to say.
So first of all, again, I mean, I don't think that they need to expand to Israel. It's a very small market. I think that my advice to every startup, everyone that wants to start something, start a new company, is persistent. Because I don't know, I mean, I like to listen to podcasts from time to time, and I heard quite a few podcasts with CEOs of unicorns, not only Israeli unicorns, and they always talked about how hard the journey is and how many times they wanted to close the companies and how many times they failed before. I think the most important asset for an entrepreneur is the persistence and to keep on going. I mean, sometimes you smash into the wall, this is true, but in other times you succeed. And maybe this is also when we talked about what is the secrets of the Israeli ecosystem. I don't think that we are smarter. I think that you know, in many exams where they check schools on the level of mathematics or science or whatever, Israel is doing very poorly even sometimes. But I think where Israel is strong is in the execution. It's the drive of the people. It's the persistence. It's the motivation to build something, to do something that at the end wins. And it wins in spite of not being the smartest, and you don't need to be the brightest to be the CEO. You need to be an entrepreneur. You need to be someone who, you know, can break walls in order to enable this company to grow. And to do it in spite of failures and in spite of lots of people telling you no, and there are many stories like this about companies that had so much no at the end, until they got the yes, sometimes it took them a lot of time.
Well, thank you, Shai. I think this was another good example that you presented to us. Persistence, I think, is something that we all can have a little bit more of in particular.
Yeah, and in Austria also, I understood that there is this stigma on people that are afraid to fail.
Most certainly. And that comes with persistence. Huh? You only have to get up one more time, then you fall down and you're successful. So
in Israel, it's the opposite. In Israel, if you go to a VC and you tell them about the companies you started and you fail, they see it as a good sign because you are persistent and you learn something. Everybody knows. I mean, in Israel, it's even a positive experience in a way because you tried, you did something at least, and you learned something. Failure should be looked at as in a positive way.
That's great. Thank you so much, Lisa. Anything to add?
I think the tip you said before is very good. So everyone who wants to know more, please approach Shai and the Advantage Austria Tel Aviv office. So there you get more tips. Yeah, how to move around on the Israeli startup ecosystem. Thank you very much, Shai, for your insights.
You are very welcome and thank you very much for having me.
Liebe Zuhörerinnen und Zuhörer, wir sind schon wieder am Ende unserer heutigen Folge angelangt. Wir freuen uns, wenn ihr auch nächste Woche wieder mit dabei seid bei Asia Expansion Explained.
Das war Asia Expansion Explained, Ihr Podcast für eure Internationalisierung nach Asien. Ihr habt Fragen, Anregungen, Wünsche? Dann schreibt uns unter podcast@gin-austria.com. Weitere Infos zu den Startup-Services von Global Incubator Network Austria findet ihr auf gin-austria.com. Ready for the next steps? Go big, go global, go Asia. Dieser Podcast ist eine Kooperation zwischen GEM Solutions und dem Global Incubator Network Austria, ein Förderungsprogramm des Austria Wirtschaftsservice und der Österreichischen Forschungsförderungsgesellschaft.